Recording you from now, so what you say will be used against you. God bless you, brother.
Okay. All right, we better remember that. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you all here today. And let me just get organized here. And is there any way we can mute this thing here, or I'll try and do it? No. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
You we'll can, keep it between us if you want.
That's right. You can record it and broadcast it, and that's what we want. But it's good to be here with you. I offered to come. It's been a while since I've known Brother Frank, and I thought, you know, this guy's never going to invite me. So I thought I'd just write him an email, and if he would have said no, I would have come anyway, whether he liked it or not. But It's great to be here. First time I've seen this place was during a Bible College board meeting. And I have an idea of Faith Baptist Church. I've been hearing about you folks and your faithfulness in the gospel. But I've never really been able to come and fellowship. And so I cherish that little meeting at the back there. And even more now that I'm here in front of you. So you're doing a good job here. A great job for the Savior, and I'm glad that there is a gospel light in this part of Melbourne. And maybe after today, this will be my last time, especially if he's recording my messages. All right, but anyway, jokes aside, I do have great respects for Pastor. He has been an encouragement to me personally. Continuing on, being faithful to the Lord, with working and juggling between working, ministry, family, and anything and everything in between, being a good husband and a good dad, and it's never easy to do that. We have a little connection in that before I was pastoring, I was also in business. I have my own little business, and I understand how it is to prepare a sermon at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and I understand how it is to have that feeling of, I want to accomplish this, I want to meet with so-and-so, but you just don't have the time. So pray for your pastor. We appreciate him at Calvary, to me and my wife. Of course, love him, care for him, support him, and all of that. What an example to me personally. Just a couple of things I'd like to pick on him. Am I allowed to do that?
I thought the jokes were aside.
Okay. Well, you know, we can always have some more. But the first one is that I don't know how he does it. Since I've been full-time in the ministry, I seem to become more rounder and wider. But he is managing to keep his weight. Yeah,
that's
so
why number one already. We're going to.
Okay, man. And the second reason why I want to pick on him this morning before we go into mess, I'm still bruised. I'm still recovering from the bruising in one of the subjects. I enrolled in BBBC, and he's my teacher. A very hard taskmaster this one. You know. So, but again, thank you for having me, and I'm glad that I'm here. With you today. I bring you greetings from Calvary Baptist Church in Bayswater. Pray for us. And we are also looking forward to 2018. And I brought my wife with me. Cherry is her name, just in case you haven't figured that one yet. We are actually on holidays together. Your ministers do take holidays too, don't they? Because this time of the year, we take the time to just review the year and plan for the coming one. And also, we're celebrating our 31st. I have to write that down, darling, just in case I forget. 31st wedding anniversary. And I praise God for her. Thank you. Indeed, for her love, for her care, for her encouragement, for her affection, for being the mother that she is to our three girls. And I praise God for her patience. If you're married to me, you would know what that means. So pray for her patience indeed. God is really all-knowing, Brother Frank, in church. He knew exactly who I need. She definitely complete me, my wife Cherry, for these 31 years. So I love you, dear, and I'm looking forward for many more years together. More than the holiday together, and she decided to come with me because I need to behave myself, and also I need adult supervision. Okay, so, but indeed, thank you for allowing us to be here. Well, Christmas Day came and went, or at least how we kind of celebrate the day. We have many thoughts and opinion as to when the actual Christmas is and or was that very first Christmas Day, but we won't argue with that this morning. But as far as the nominal Christendom is concerned, December 25 was the day that was set aside for it, and it came and it went. And how we are thankful again for the reminder. The reminder of God's love to humanity. The Lord Jesus being that unspeakable gift in according to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The one who had and continues to bring good tidings of great joy. The one that is conceived by the Holy Ghost and was born to be the Savior of his people from their sins, according to Matthew. He was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 9, and it says there that the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful. Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. And then in Galatians 4, it says there that in the fullness of time, that time that was known only to God, the fullness of time, he sent forth his son. And beloved, realize, made of a woman, made under the law. Why? So that he can redeem those that were under the law and to receive the adoption of sons. Marvelous, marvelous Jesus Christ, incarnate Christ, that we have celebrated, and I trust that we will continue to celebrate throughout the year. Christmas Day is not exclusive to December 25. And I'm glad that we had our Lord's Supper, because I said this to our congregation the other day or the other time, that Christmas and its celebration without the message of the cross is an incomplete message, beloved. The cross should be center and forefront in the celebration of Christmas, is it not? Without it, it's incomplete message. So Christmas represented peace, or represents peace, love, humility, giving. And as yet, as we gather here this morning, the world is not in peace. Perhaps your home and the domestics that you are dealing with is not in peace. Organizations right, left, and center at the moment are not in peace. Humanity, by and large today, beloved, has gone into systematically destroying the very institutions and principles of this world, God's world. Love, genuine agape love, is rarely seen, if it exists at all, in humanity. Humility is almost lost as a virtue, as a character, sadly, even from believers. It's become a lost trait. Giving today is conditional. There's strings attached. I would give if you would do this. It's not the giving that the Lord Jesus Christ has showed us. But you see, beloved, with all the wrong that goes on and will continue to go on, does that mean that we give up on the celebration of Christmas? No, beloved, Or we may not celebrate it in the terms and in the conditions of the world. But I encourage us all to celebrate Christmas and proclaim the Christ of Christmas. Because if we don't do it, who will do it? The Muslims? The Mormons? They won't share the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ dying on the cross for you and me, and the salvation of humanity through the Christ on the cross. So if we say that Christ is in us, I say that we go out there, perhaps not being able to correct the wrongs of Christmas, but proclaim the Christ of Christmas. Now, Pastor Manny, Christmas is finished. Why are you preaching about Christmas? Because my premise is exactly that. Every day should be Christmas time in our hearts. That gift of the Son of God coming on this earth to be the Savior of men. We must, beloved, we must declare that Son, that child of the one true God, God Almighty. It will be us that will declare this message, because Christ is in us, the very hope of glory, the Bible says. And you, if you're a believer here this morning, that ought to be your mantra. That ought to be your daily message to the lost and dying world out there. But you see, after today, in just a few hours, 2017, as we know it, will be history. And we are coming to an end of another year. I don't know about you, but during this time of the year, I have mixed emotions. I'm just being honest. I have mixed emotions because I go back to the beginning of the year 2017 and the commitments that I made to the Lord that I will do this by your help and by your grace, and all the opportunities that came in front of me, and whether I have actually taken those opportunities and did something about those opportunities. I go now to the end of the year and I look at how I went for the year. And beloved, I must confess to you, I have plenty of missed opportunities. All the commitments that I have said to the Lord in January of this year, I have to come clean before you and to my God, which I've already did. I haven't been able to deliver on that consistently. So I have mixed emotions at a time, the ending of each year. I look at it and I have these missed opportunities. Another missed opportunity. But don't despair, beloved. This morning we will be reminded of one of the greatest doctrines of our faith. And that is the teaching and the belief of a future. Of a future, of a heavenly home, where our God will be forever with us. And He shall be our God, and we shall be His people forever and ever. Amen. And with the passing of yet another year, if you are in Christ today, we are a step closer to that blessed hope, beloved. So even if you are melancholy perhaps, and perhaps you're thinking of all the things that you haven't accomplished for your Savior, don't despair. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Part of our thankfulness and should be our excitement even in anticipation of that blessed hope is found in our text this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you turn your Bibles there. And I promise I won't. There is no clock here. No. Man, I've been to different churches, and this is one that I don't see a clock. Does that mean I can preach?
I got rid of it a long time ago.
Oh. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and if you're able, would you stand with me, please? But I promise I won't keep you longer than necessary. I'll have you home very, very soon. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, again, if you're able, would you stand with me? Beginning in verse 11, beloved, familiar passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, ye shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so us by fire. Let's pray together. Our Father, once again we are exposed to you. The thoughts and intents of our heart are before you even now. Father, we're thankful that we have a good group of believers here this morning who thought it best to be in your house of worship. Lord, we are thankful for the Savior. We are thankful for all that you are in each of us. Once again, Father, I pray for unction, power from on high. Speak through me. Use my lips, my mouth, to be the communicator of your grace this morning. And I pray, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that you would allow him to do his wonderful work in each and every one of us. And I pray we would not quench him. We would not grieve him even today. And so, Lord, we commit this few minutes of your time. Lord, I pray that you would indeed be honored and be put into your rightful place. We ask all of these things in the mighty name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Beloved, every man's work shall be manifested. It shall be tried of what sort it is, the Bible says. And if this work abide, he shall receive a reward, the Bible says. And if it is done any other way, this same book says that he, that person, shall suffer loss. I want us to spare a thought and consider this concept of finishing well. Finishing well. 1 Corinthians is here telling us of a manner, in a way, that we would live our lives. You see, throughout 2017, I'm sure you would have labored. I'm sure you would have served the Lord Christ. Throughout this time, you would have come to terms with doing all sorts of things, unknown and known to people, and you have dedicated that to the Savior. Those labors, those services that you have done. Beloved, can I say to you this morning that God never missed a beat of that. I say this, I don't know about Pastor Frank. I say this to our congregation in Bayswater. I, as their pastor, is fallible. There will be plenty of times that I would not be able to remember or even recognize the good work that our people do in our church. We have a congregation, and we are blessed with a good number of folks in our church. And the ministry doesn't happen just because of one or two. The ministry involves a lot of people. And I, as a pastor, would not always remember what people do and what they contribute to the body. But the encouragement, beloved, is unknown to me, maybe, but never unknown to God. Never. So those labor of love that you did, those service, that little cup of water that you gave to someone in His name, your incessant prayers, your word of encouragement with someone when they were discouraged themselves, your giving, your cheerful giving, that sowing bountifully and not sparingly, all of that is never forgotten by God Almighty. That word, every, exactly means that. Every man's work shall be made manifest. It shall be declared. It shall be revealed. I must tell you this, however. Who was the object of your love? Who was the object of your service? If you know anything about the Corinthian church, this is a messed up church. But God allowed it to be here. It's in the canon of Scripture because you and I can see at this church and we can learn from it. So there's a few things that I'd like us to note, and I've already mentioned the first one. That here we have this word, every. Every man's work shall be made manifest, the Bible says. It shall be declared. It shall be revealed. Beloved, can I encourage you, as much as you think you had these missed opportunities in 2017, may I say it again. Everything that you did for the Lord this year did not come unnoticed. It is always seen by our God. That labor of love, like I said, everything that you do. Everything. And if they were done with the object being the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, with the right motivation of heart, and may I also add, God's way of doing things, the Bible way. You see, you can do God's work, but in the wrong way. But if it's Bible way, our Savior, our God, will be pleased of all the things that we did in 2017. He knows. He never misses, and those labor of love to Him, He is pleased. Secondly, the text clearly states that our work will be manifested. It will be revealed, like I said. It will be tried. And how and what shape or form that will come, I don't know. I have an idea because of the Word of God. You see, some says they've become creative about this. Commentators have a wonderful flurry of words to describe the bema, this judgment seat of Christ. Some would say that there will be a giant screen, and you as a believer, you will be standing there on your own with all the witnesses around, and your life will sort of be manifested or will be projected on this giant screen, and all the things that you did, good and bad, will be flashed for everyone to see. And then the good Lord will hand down His verdict based on what was shown. Now, I'm not sure about that, actually. It just doesn't sit well with me and to the character of my God. Many have different theories about this, and I'm not about to offer yet another conjecture or any assumption of how that will come. I just want to take what the Bible says, amen. And the Bible says that our work will be revealed. It will be tried, and it will be rewarded if it abides. That's all what the Bible says here. That being the case, beloved, and we can go on in the negative here, but I would rather focus on the positive. We can look at a brother or a sister in the Lord and shake our heads, scratch our ears and say, how can anyone do that and yet they say they're a Christian? Oh, we can have all the time to do that. But I'd rather focus on what is encouraging. So if our work will be revealed, If the Bible says that it will be tried and it will be manifested and therefore it will also be rewarded, that if it abides, then let us be encouraged that it's really not the quantity, although that is important. But not just the quantity, but the quality of it. Now, what do I mean by that? I don't want to be misunderstood. What I mean by that is that, let's put this back into perspective here, okay? The Bible says that we are bought with a price. Amen. Okay? We are bought with a price, and therefore we are servants of Christ. Correct? Because I don't want to be too theological. Back in the day, when you buy someone, and you do, at that time, you buy a slave. And you buy them for a price. And beloved, let me remind you, we are in the slave market of sin. And so the Lord Jesus indeed bought us from the slave market of sin. And so because we are bought with a price, and the cost, beloved, is unfathomable. And we can roll off the pages of scripture and say it cost him his blood. Do you understand what that means? Manny Malai, do you actually understand what that means? I confess to you, I'm still getting a grip of that. But here we are bought with a price, and therefore, beloved, our work, our service should not be out of obligation, but out of love. Paul says in the same letter that we are on at the moment, in chapter 6, verse 20, for ye are bought with a price, therefore, did you notice that? You are bought with a price, therefore, there is a cause and there is an effect. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And then in chapter 7, in verse 23, it says again, ye are bought with a price, be not ye servants of men. Be ye not servants of men. Therefore, it is a given, beloved. It is a given that we serve Christ. If you say you're a Christian today, you ought to be serving your Savior, Jesus Christ. You cannot be a Christian and not be serving your Lord and Savior and your Master. But I'm afraid, and I know I'm a guest here, and I hope you give me indulgence. Many are Christians today, and they would say that I am a believer in Jesus Christ, that I love my Savior. I'm thankful for my Savior, for what He has done to my soul. But they would not serve this Savior. They're happy to sit and watch. They're happy to just do, if anything, the most minimum. How can you do that when the cause of your salvation is unfathomable? How can you do the minimum for the Savior? Ponder upon them. It is a given, beloved, that we would serve Christ. If you say you are a Christian, it is expected of you to serve. It is expected of you to serve and do something for your Savior. You can't say you're a Christian and do nothing for the Savior. You were bought with a price, a costly price, and therefore glorify God in your body, which was redeemed by Him. But you see, this is the wonderful thing about the Savior. Romans 12 tells us that we are to offer ourselves a living sacrifice. And then it says, which is your reasonable service. It should really be extravagant service, you know. But He didn't ask for that. He's just asking for our reasonable service. But from what He did for you and for me, we should give Him back our all. But He's asking for a reasonable service. Only what's reasonable. So there is the quantity of work. But as we deliver on this quantity, be encouraged, beloved, it is not a competition as to who does the most. We all do our best, or at least we should do all the quantity of work of service to Christ. But at the end of the day, out of that quantity that we did, how much of that was quality? However much of that was done for men. How much of that was done actually for self, or the applause of men, the pat in the back of some men, the greasing over? How much of that? How much of that is about division and discord, even in the context of this this letter to the church at Corinth? How much of that is of Apollos, of Cephas, or of Christ? As a congregation of believers, there shouldn't be any Apollos or Cephas at all. There should only be Christ. Now, how many times, I hope it's not here, but in many churches, we have this unity and division. This means, beloved, because of our work, it will be individually tried, individually rewarded. We as individuals have an opportunity to offer quality work to the Savior, regardless of what so-and-so does and what so-and-so doesn't do. We're not in competition with anyone. We are running our own race, the Bible says in Hebrews. You are not racing against anyone. God has planned for your life before the foundation of the world what you are ought to be doing for Him, and you are running your own race. So just like the Apostle Paul, when you leave this God's earth, you would be able to say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished someone else's course. My course. Your service, your work is not dependent on somebody else's job. It's you and your God. Given the right motives, the right object, and the right way, an elderly saint is recognized, if not more, in their weakness, in their lack of strength now. They can no longer knock on doors and say, I am so and so from Faith Baptist Church, and I just want to tell you about this Savior. They can no longer do that. They can no longer pace the streets of Anderson Road and Faulkner and tell them about Jesus. And yet at the same time, we have some young people who are full of energy, full of enthusiasm, and I hope they're using it the right way. And they would knock on people's door and they say, I am Manny, and I'm here to tell you about this Jesus Christ. And you know what, beloved? The elderly and the younger one, in the eyes of God Almighty, provided they're doing their service with the right object of faith, with the right motivation, both will be rewarded. A preacher that would preach to hundreds of people, or of thousands of people even, and yet there is one Christian who will be face to face with someone, opening the Word of God and telling him about his need of the Savior. It's the same. God is honored regardless. I'm preaching to hundreds of thousands of people. Both will be rewarded. I know I'm a guest here, but can I ask you, who, again, was the motivation of your worship? Is it Apollos? Is it Cephas? Or is it Christ? Perhaps it's not someone. Is it something? The quadruple story house? The red Ferrari? The boat? What is it? Who or what was the motivation of your service? Thirdly, perhaps, and not as obvious as the other two previous points, rewards most of the time are received in heaven and not on earth. Somebody smart counted all the God's promises in the Bible, and he came out with a figure of almost 7,500. Now, I have not verified this, beloved, but if he was correct, beloved, some of these promises, we can claim them today. We don't have to wait. These promises are available to us now, this morning, right here, right now. The promise of provision, the promise of protection, the promise of power over sin, the promise of preservation and keeping, that promise of never being alone and forsaken, and that indeed the Bible says that our steps are ordered by the Lord, and if we are to fail, we are not utterly cast down because what? His own hand upholds us. Oh, beloved. That promise of being strong when we are weak. That promise of being forgiven and cleansed from all our sinfulness if we would confess to him. Because he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all our sins. That promise of things working together for good to them that love God. And that indeed that we are more than conquerors to him. Oh, a wonderful promise. That's available to you and me today. We are living that. It's written here in the inspired word of God. And that's not a promise that we have to wait. That is given to us. The promise of Psalm 1, the promise of Psalm 23, the promise of Psalm 91. And I could go on and on. And then this thing. Realize this, Robert, that he loved us first. In fact, the very reason why you and I can even love God Almighty, I'm sorry, it is because he loved us first. Fathom that. All you hear in the world today is this love that is humanly, and some are even eros. But the love that we have in Christ is the agape love. Without a doubt, we have so many promises and rewards just by being a Christian. Just by being a Christian. That reward of being, don't misunderstand me when I say this, of being converted, substituted, reconciled, propitiated, all these theological terms, our sins being remitted and therefore being redeemed by God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, which we just remembered today. Justified, sanctified, and in the future glorified. Woo! I can't contain myself just realizing these. And at the end of the year, God has been truly good to us as a family. And I look at our church, Brother Frank, 44 years of God's faithfulness. Calvary Baptist Church is still there, standing, still preaching the same message. Oh, how I'm thankful for Faith Baptist Church that stood the test of time. You may not actually be 44 years. I don't know how many years. But God is good to all of us. And so as we look back on 2017 and as we look forward to 2018, we have so much to be thankful for, beloved. You look at your own lives, your own families, all the things that has transpired in this year, we have so much to be thankful for. And if you're not, you're a sick puppy. There is so much to thank God for. Okay? And realize that. And don't neglect that. Be thankful unto him. But when we finish this year, and really in this life, and we want to finish well, do we not? We just don't want to begin well in our Christian life. We want to finish well. So when as we finish this year and really in this life, we want not only to begin well, but to finish well. And our text is revealing here to us about a reward. Not a temporal reward, not a physical reward, not a corruptible reward. Rewards or crowns, as some theologians may put it. I don't have time to detail them to you this morning, but the Bible speaks of the imperishable crown in 1 Corinthians 9. The crown of rejoicing. In 1 Thessalonians 2, the crown of righteousness in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the crown of life in Revelation chapter 2, and the crown of glory in 1 Peter chapter 5. That's a good study in itself. That'll encourage your heart. But you see, these eternal crowns, these rewards, they are not for us to keep. They are to be submitted back to this Savior who gave his all for us. And this is our ultimate worship to him, ultimate acknowledgement of him, ultimate praise of him, being our Redeemer and really our all. Our all. But perhaps you're wondering, what's the point of this message? Where were you, Pastor Manny, when we were beginning 2017? You should have preached this message in 2017, January. Not at the very last day of the year. Okay? How can you encourage us to finish well when it's the last day of the year? Is that my tongue? That means some... Okay. No? I hope not anyway. We have another couple more things here. And perhaps you're thinking, in a matter of hours, 2017 will be over. And how can I finish well? I have no time to recover. And perhaps you're wondering, and you're sitting down there and you say, you know what, Pastor Manny, Pastor Frank, I haven't really done what I ought to do in 2017. And how can I finish well? You see, beloved, I can't answer that. That's between you and the Lord. I can only encourage you. Again, I know I'm a guest here, but can I encourage you to ponder on our text today? Can I encourage you to take a stock take of your life, so to speak, and turn a glance in the past, in a way. We cannot wind the clock back, I know that, but we can, like the Apostle Paul encouraged us to do, to forget those things which are behind and reach forth unto those things that are before. Because if you would keep on looking back and looking back and not reach forward, you'll always be looking back. And so as we end the year, I'm challenging us all, me first, to finish well, but I'm also challenging us to begin well in 2018. Firstly, I want us to just look at a couple of things here in this matter of forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth on those things which are before, right? Don't live in the past, beloved. Don't. Okay, there are two ways I want to share with you how people do this. And again, believers and unbelievers alike. Firstly, many of us, again, and I don't know you, okay? I don't know who's who in the church. That's probably good. Many Christians that I know of will have full of regrets. And they will have a lot of sad stories to remember. And they will be looking about their past failures rather than the potential opportunities. And I encourage us not to be like that. Somehow they cannot let go of the past and move on to the future. Beloved, let me remind you, the future is bright. Right? The future is very bright. There's no need of looking behind. The Apostle Paul tells us that we are to forget those things which are behind. God Almighty knows already our failings and our shortcomings. He knoweth our frame, that we are but dust, the Bible says. Don't feel so sorry for yourself. Don't live in the past. Don't live on regrets. Don't look and remember about your failings and shortcomings. Learn from them, mind you. Learn from them. But don't you become so defeated that you would keep on looking at the past. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, the Bible says. And this time, as we look unto Jesus, by God's grace, that we would actually redeem the time because the days are evil. And that for all of that, we should be mindful that our life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then what? Vanisheth away. That should be our attitude. That's my encouragement to us. Okay? Don't live in the past. Don't live in the past. Secondly, some people, as they ponder their thought of forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth on those things that are before, while many languish with regrets on the things of the past, many people, cannot let go of the past. There are but some, again, believers and unbelievers alike, many are still living like the good old days. Oh, the good old days. I hear all the time. The good old days. Perhaps you're one of those and you're living on memories. I'm not asking you to stop on remembering, okay? But can I encourage you to make some new memories? Make some new memories. I have respects with our senior saints and I love them. Our church, we have a lot of senior saints. And every waking moment of my life as a pastor, I thank them. I thank God for them. And I thank them as much as I can. But some, and by the way, our senior saints, and I'm sure it's the same here, even in their frailties and even in their weakness, they serve. They make handmade cards. They make a point to call people to tell their pastor and everyone else, happy birthday or whatever it is. That's their ministry. They tell me, Pastor, I'm praying for you. Okay? And they will make some nice cakes or whatever. They'll do anything that they can, even in their frail age. Okay? But there are some would say the good old days. I used to be part of this. I used to do this. I used to go here. I used to teach. I used to. They're living in used to. Don't live in the used to. 2018 is coming. The good old days is there, great. But there is a better good old days that's coming, beloved. And make those memories. Like I said, we don't have a guarantee of tomorrow. Make the most of today. And I know you will hear about this and some politician would say and with some flurry words, but it's true. The good old days is great. But there is far even greater in the opportunities of that blessed hope. Don't live in the good old days. By the grace of God, create new memories. Continue and keep on serving Him. Don't be content, oh, we used to do this and that and the other. I used to participate on this and that and the other during the good old days. Participate now. Do something now. There is a better good day that's coming. Known to the Father only, but until then, let us stop gazing like what the book of Acts tells us, or Thessalonians is, I can't remember right now. Let's not stop figuring out and dreaming of how the good days are there before and how we wish that it would be back. It won't. It's just not natural. It's history. It's gone. Good old days is here and now. How are you going to live 2018? How are you going to spend 2018? Will it be the same as other years? I hope not. I pray not. Perhaps there will be a need for some new commitments, some new dedication, some new
in your inner man and in your inner soul, and you would say to your Savior, by your grace, dear Jesus, I do this year. Perhaps you would be involved a little bit more. Perhaps you would pray a little bit more. Pastor Frank just reminded us about our missionaries. Don't let them sit on the bulletin boards. Pray for them. Perhaps you will make some new commitments to your Savior this year, that indeed you would make the Lord Jesus Christ preeminent in your life. And I mean preeminent, that whatever you would do all to the glory of God. And then as I close, I don't know who's who in the church. I don't know who's got a professional faith and who doesn't. That's probably good. But if you're here this morning and in a matter of hours, 2017 will be over. Perhaps you've been here before. Perhaps your friends, your relatives have told you about this Jesus Christ who is able to save to the uttermost. Let not the year roll over without you knowing this Savior Jesus Christ. In fact, I plead with you. Don't walk out of that door not knowing your eternal destiny, because I cannot guarantee you, and no one can, that you'll be taking your next breath tomorrow. If you don't know this Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about intellectual knowledge. I'm not talking about a religion. Religion divides, Christ unifies. I'm talking of a relationship, a Bible relationship in Jesus Christ. A good test of that, if you don't know where your eternal destiny is going to be. That means, beloved, you need to be born again, not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. Born again is a misused word today. But the born again that I'm talking about is being born of the Spirit. Not this happy clappy born again. If that's you this morning, talk to Pastor Frank. Talk to the deacons. Talk to the members of this church. But don't let the opportunity finish today without you ever knowing where your eternal destiny is. We may all sit here and say, we pray for 2018 that we'll be prosperous, that we'll be blessed, and we'll be all of that, this, that, and the other. The reality, beloved, is we don't have a guarantee that 2018 will finish as we thought it would be. Thank you for having me. I trust that it's a blessing to you, and I pray that we would all be focus on the things that really matter, that in the light of eternity will really be the ones that will be rewarded. Our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for the good word. Thank you for the challenge and the comfort of it. I thank you for these folks, for Brother Frank and Miria and the family and everyone that's involved in this way. Oh God, I pray that we as servants of you, bought with a price, that indeed would commit ourselves, our all, in serving you, that in the days to come, no matter how long or short it may be, that indeed we would be pleasing before you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Frank.
Thank you, Pastor Manny, for that challenge as we approach a new year. I think there are plenty of words of wisdom in that, much to contemplate as we reflect on our own lives and consider where we are, where we stand at this particular point as this new year flips over in the coming hours. So I'd like to challenge you, as he did, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are facing 2018 with confidence and hope, then keep your eyes firmly focused on the Saviour who goes before us. If you're entering into 2018 without him, then I would encourage you to turn to him and look and see that he is there calling for you to follow him. And there's no better place to be than following Jesus. So I'd like us to stand as we sing one final hymn before the service is closed today, and encourage you once again to come and speak to us if you'd like to know more. And thank you once again to Pastor Manny for that wonderful message. Number 496, Victory in Jesus.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
I heard about a mansion.
I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. Good singing, great song. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's close the service and continue serving him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the victory that we can have in Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that you give us the victory, that Jesus Christ has already gone forward before us and he has won the victory. He conquered not only sin, but he conquered death for us. And we can have hope because he has risen again and is alive now. And so, Father, I pray that as we enter into a new year, that you would keep our eyes focused on you, that we would fully give our lives to you because we have been bought by that blood which has been shed for us, and we do indeed deserve to give him everything of us. Father, you deserve every part of us, and we pray that 2018 would be a year that we would claim victory in Jesus in all areas of our lives. We thank you for the preaching of the word. We thank you for Pastor Manny, who has shared that with us and has challenged us. And I just pray for each and every person here with their head bowed. Father, if there is any who doesn't know you, who hasn't received Jesus as their Savior yet, Father, I pray that they would not enter into a new year without him in their lives. I thank you once again. Bless us as we spend some time in fellowship together. Bless our new year. And Father, bless our fellowship with you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. And stay back for a couple. We'd love to spend some time with you. God bless you.